Well, let me begin. I want to ask you all a question, and feel free to call out your answers. What sort of things did people get up to yesterday? I know that some of us did the Breaking the Silence course, and I'm sure most of us voted, not the Canadians and Americans, but what else did people do? Anyone do any gardening, any shopping? Yeah, there we go. Anyway, washing, did someone say? Prayer time. Washing, yeah.
Kept the garden out there.
Yep, gardening. Did any ladies do their hair or makeup, that sort of thing?
Oh, I can't
do it. Yeah, yeah. You're supposed to say, I don't need it.
I'd like to say that.
That's it. Let me ask you, did anyone turn a light switch on or off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've all done that. Well, guess what? According to the Jewish law, we have all broken the Sabbath. We have not kept the Sabbath holy because we have done these things. And so much more. The Sabbath is an extremely important day to the Jewish people. In fact, if you go to Israel today, some buildings will have a certain lift, that is, so the Jewish people can go in and they don't have to press the buttons to tell them which level to get off at, because they consider that to be a violation of this, of the Sabbath law. And so the lift will stop at every single level, so that they do not have to press the button. It's a very, very important thing for Jewish people to keep. It's a huge deal. And when we look into the scriptures, we can see why. Because it was firstly ordained by God, a day that is to be a special day compared to any other day. The Sabbath was instituted way, way back in Exodus, the second book of the Old Testament. Chapter 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments to his people. If you know your Ten Commandments, you will know that the first four commandments have to do with our relationship to God. And then the last six have to do with our relationship toward each other. That's how the law is broken up for us. And so we see, number one, we see, have no other gods before me. Number two, do not worship any idols, do not make any idols. Number three is, do not use God's name in vain, or do not blaspheme. And then we get to number four, which is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let me keep reading after that. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it a holy one. The Sabbath is a holy day. It is set apart. That's what the word holy means. It is set apart. It's different compared to all the other days. And now we must remember as well that the Sabbath was a wonderful thing for the Jewish people. It wasn't a bad thing just because it was part of the Ten Commandments, as many people seem to think. Today it's not portrayed as a good thing, which it really was. God had made it so that no matter what, every week, no matter all the things that his people had gone through, the busyness of their lives, the anxiety that comes with it, one day would be a day off. It is a wonderful thing to have a Sabbath. A wonderful thing, a privilege that they have. And it's a big deal for the Jewish people to keep it. Firstly, because we see that it's a commandment. And they know that they must keep the commandments of God. We must keep the commandments of God. If we look into Exodus chapter 35, we see that to break the Sabbath meant death. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death, we see in Exodus 35. Because it was meant to be a holy day, a day that is set aside compared to any other day. You cannot even do small things. As we see, if we continue to read in Exodus, you shall kindle no fire in your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. Don't even start a fire. In Nehemiah, we see that buying and selling of crops, that too is also considered to be breaking the law, breaking the Sabbath law, because you're continuing on your work that you shouldn't be continuing on. So we can see that even in the Old Testament scriptures, the Sabbath was a very, very, very important day. And it's very different, and it was regarded, rightly so, as being very different to any other day of the week. But as we come to the New Testament, the days when Jesus had come, the meaning of the Sabbath had changed dramatically. It went from a day where normal things that would not happen, and instead you're supposed to rest, where you're supposed to think, you're supposed to meditate on God, the things that he has done, and it had been turned into this day where you're not allowed to even, you know, make your bed. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to touch certain things. Because they were considered to be work, to be labor. Because the Pharisees had made it into what Jesus often calls in the New Testament a burden for the people. They had changed the meaning of the Sabbath into something else. And that's why by the end of Mark, end of verse 22 in Mark 2, we see that Jesus is telling his people that he's bringing in this new covenant. Here's this new way to live. And here's where he compares the new wine and the old wineskins, the new patch and the old garment. He's comparing the two. He's ushering in this new covenant, this new time for his followers to live in. It's not the same as how the Pharisees lived. Because the Pharisees wanted the people to obey them, obey their rules, their laws, and forget about God's. And then we see that something happened that really, really shocked the Pharisees in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. We see that one Sabbath day, okay, this special day, this holy day of rest, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a grain field. And some of the disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, probably, you know, rubbing them between their hands to get the chaff off them, as they would normally do, blowing it into the wind, and then they would eat the grain. And the disciples saw this and they said, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? See, the Pharisees considered this work because anything, any food preparation that needed to be done for the Sabbath was supposed to be done the day before so you wouldn't break the Sabbath laws. So taking grain from the field, cleaning the grain, eating the grain is a violation. And Jesus knows what they're saying. He knows what the sort of burdens that they put onto the people. And Jesus knows the Sabbath far better than any Jew. And in fact, if we see what happens here in Mark, Jesus actually doesn't say anything about what his disciples were doing. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, oh, yeah, you know what, Pharisees, you're right. Instead, he did something else. He very cleverly turned to the Old Testament and he asked the Pharisees a question. You know, these men who should know the scriptures, because that's what they do, the Pharisees. They study the scriptures. And he asked them this. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. Now, of course, Jesus knows that they have read it. It's an obvious question. It's like saying, don't you know if you go out into the rain, you're going to get wet? Of course. So Jesus is saying, have you never read what David did? The answer is, of course they've read it. Do you think they cared? Not really. They just wanted to condemn Jesus. That's what they were out for. Jesus refers here to 1 Samuel 21, which we had read to us earlier. We see that David does something that is totally not allowed. He's on the run from Saul, King Saul, with a number of followers who are with him. They are hungry, they are in need, they come to the priest in the temple of Nob, they want some food. See, they have nothing, they're on the run, they've got no weapons. And just to note this as a side note as well, in 1 Samuel 21, we'll see that the name of the priest is Ahimelech. In Mark 2, Jesus says Abiathar. Ahimelech is the father of Abiathar. So don't think like there's an error in the scriptures, as many people try to suggest these days. It's not an error. It's not wrong for Jesus to say one when there could be two of them at the time. Not two high priests, but two priests. Now, the only food that was on hand in the temple when David arrives is the bread of the presence. Now, what makes it such a big deal? It's not like you go to Baker's Delight and you just get a loaf. This is the bread of the presence. This is the bread that is given to God. And the only people that are allowed to eat this bread are the priests. It is special bread. We use the word holy. Holy bread, set apart, set out for God and for the priests to eat only. Let me read from Leviticus chapter 24. This is the background to the bread. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf, and you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. So this bread of the presence, it's very significant. And it's a very important thing that the priests do here as they present the bread of the presence before God. And we see that this bread is given to David. David is not a priest. He's not supposed to eat it. He was given it to him so he could satisfy his hunger. He was in need. The people who were with him were needy. And not to mention that those men who followed David were actually the sort of the riffraff of society. They weren't anyone good. We'll see if you read on in Samuel that these men were sort of the scoundrels that followed David. They weren't kings, they weren't priests, they weren't even royalty. And yet they too ate of this bread of the presence. Now, why did God not strike David down dead for doing something that was not lawful? That was a violation. How dare he eat that bread? In the words of Matthew Henry, he says this for us: ritual observance must give way to moral obligation, and that may be done in a case of necessity. And what he's saying here, let's look at a bit more. David's anointed king of Israel, yes. Does that mean he's allowed to eat the bread of the presence? No, he's not a priest. Does God eat this bread? No, God doesn't eat the bread. The bread is dedicated to God, is given to God, but the priests eat this bread. Now David comes along and he is in more need. David needs this food, him and his men. And so what do we see? We see that God is gracious. God is gracious. And he allows these things if in need. If his people need these things, he's not going to condemn them for it. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 12, which one of you, he says this to the Pharisees, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It's better to do good on the Sabbath than to just neglect people. And Jesus uses that as a sheep falling into a pit on the Sabbath. Remember, if you pull it out, that's work. But Jesus is saying, of course you're going to pull the sheep out of the ditch. You're not going to leave it there to die. How much more value is man than just a sheep? It is lawful to do what is right. Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, you're missing the point of the Sabbath. You're missing the point of the Sabbath. It's not about ceasing from everything. We need to get this right. It's about forsaking everything you would normally do that takes the place of focusing on God for those 6 days. Normally comes in the form of work, study, anything that you do for 6 odd days of the week. That is the majority of things that you do. You cease from doing it on the Sabbath. God said, on the seventh day, you rest and you thank God for this day. It is a blessing to have a day of rest. A day which is dedicated to God, where we cease doing the labor. We cease worrying about the things of the world. And we have our hearts and our minds focused on God for that one day. If somebody is in need on the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, if you have to extend a ladder or something to help someone who's falling off a roof on the Sabbath, you do it. Because it is good. You do not cease from doing good. To make it clearer, Jesus says in verse 27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. Man was not made so that they could keep this or that on the Sabbath and be in bondage to it. Be held captive to the day, the Sabbath day, like some sort of burden. The Sabbath was made so man could rest from this or that that we normally do and be free from those things. And when we are free from having to do all those things, we spend our time meditating, thinking on the things that God has done, his goodness, his graciousness, his love toward us. In Leviticus, we see that on the Sabbath, there are more burnt offerings, more sacrifices given to God. It's a sort of a step up in their worship. They worship God normally, but on the Sabbath, this is a special day, remember, and so they do more. And so even in Israel, there's one day that they had set aside to worship God more than any other. And just like us, we worship God every day. We should worship God every day. But there is one day that we step it up. And we do more as the people of God. The Sabbath was a wonderful day. And sadly today, we tend to forget that. These days, we are Christians who are under the New Covenant, the New Testament days, where we have faith in Christ Jesus. And so we do not keep the Sabbath as the Jews do. The Sabbath was the Saturday. We do not keep the Sabbath as the Jews do even today. But because of this new freedom, we see that many, many, many Christians seem to go totally the other way. And they forget or they don't care about having one day set aside to worship God. And they continue on their lives doing whatever they want to do. And usually, they will just tack it on the end. I have many friends who will work out their week. And if they have time, then they'll go to church. And it becomes something that's sort of a fill-in. If I can get there, then I'll get there. But it's not important. It's not important to many people. And all of a sudden you see that their attendance is dictated by the things of the world rather than their worship of God. We are to keep one day sacred like the Sabbath. Like the Sabbath. And that day we now call the Lord's Day. It's not the Sabbath. We call it the Lord's Day. A day which is like the Sabbath. For believers, for followers of Christ to join together. That is the Sunday. Sunday, the first day of the week. That is the Lord's Day for us. And why do we gather together on Sunday? Well, firstly, we see that God set one day aside from the beginning of time. One day aside, he told us to rest in creation. This is before sin entered the world. This was a good thing. We need to remember that. And so what we call it is a creation ordinance, which means it started at the very beginning, and we see it play out throughout all history. 6 days you shall work, one day you shall rest. One day you shall dedicate to me and to worship me. And most importantly, it was the day that Christ Jesus rose from the dead. And that is the day that surely should be marked by the praise and the worship of his people. Corporately, as we join together to worship. Sunday, the Lord's Day. In the book of Acts, we see that the early church, the first believers, the first followers of Jesus, did not keep the Sabbath anymore. Instead, they met together on the first day of the week, the Sabbath. We see here Acts 20, on the first day of the week we read, when we were gathered together to break bread. Acts 20, verse 7. Again, we see in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Paul says this, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come. It's sort of like an offering. He's expecting them to all meet together. Remember that one day you're supposed to meet together to worship God. Well, you do this on that day as well. It's clear that in the early church there was one day set aside where the people of Christ were joined together to worship him. Now, the only mention we have of the words the Lord's Day are found in Revelation. Revelation 1:10, we see John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So we see that even then, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, rather, that even the Lord's Day is being mentioned there as well. Now, even though the Lord's Day is a different day, it doesn't mean that the early church nor us should treat it totally different to the Sabbath, because there was nothing wrong with the Sabbath. The problem with the Sabbath was the people. They couldn't keep the Sabbath. We cannot keep the Sabbath. Or the Pharisees, they got the Sabbath wrong and they made it impossible to obey or want to obey, enjoy. The Christian Sabbath, okay, the word Sabbath there, we get from the word sabbat. You think of the word like sabbatical. It means rest, to cease doing things. So the Christian Sabbath is where we cease from everything else and we worship God. We worship God. And we do this knowing that we're not going to be damned. We're not going to be hated by God if we do break it, if we do have to do a little bit of work of some sort. We worship God on that day. It is a wonderful day for the believers to join together to worship him. So why do we worship God? Why do we worship him? We need to think about this seriously here. What's the point? Now let's compare ourselves to everybody who isn't in this building here. People who are not Christians, we breathe the same air. God gives them the same air to breathe. He causes the same sun to shine down on their heads as he does our heads. What's the difference? It's simple. We are saved. That should fall on us like a ton of bricks. We are saved. Paul says, if you are a Christian, you have been sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who will remain with us until we receive our inheritance to be with God. We have been personally redeemed, brought back into the presence of God by none other than Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who is the only begotten Son of God, the very Word of God incarnate. In him, we read in Acts, we live, we move, we have our being. He is the one who says to the Pharisees, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath because he is the reason we have a Sabbath. And because of him, we can have true rest in this world. How selfish we are as people. How selfish we are as a world where God gives us 7 days a week. 6 days, he says, do whatever you need to do. And on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, you're to worship me. And yet that's such a stretch for so many people. It's such a hard thing for so many Christians to keep. And yet it is such a blessing from a wonderful, wonderful God that we worship. A God who has saved us, who has brought us back into his presence so we could see what real Sabbath rest looks like, knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who we find rest in, who we find peace in. On a hard week, a day at work where people are just causing all sorts of pain and grief. Something happens in your family. Where do you go to find rest? Where do you go to find peace? It's in the Son of Man, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. You see, we see a small portion of what it will be like now. We join together on the Lord's Day to worship God as the people of God. This is only a glimpse of what will happen in eternity, where we will be arm in arm with all other Christians throughout all of the world who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be arm in arm with them and we'll be worshiping God together, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory," we will say. And we will do it for all eternity. The true Sabbath rest will be when we see God face to face. It is something to look forward to. It is something to be excited about when we will worship Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Let's bow, let's pray. Well, our Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day. We thank you for the day of rest that you have given to your people. And we know that we could never possibly keep it as holy as you have required your people to keep it. And so we thank you that you have sent the Lord of the Sabbath, our Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the Sabbath rites for us and who has given us true rest and peace in him. And so we pray as we join together to worship him, to worship you every Lord's Day, that we will know of the great privilege it is to do this and to be excited to join together on the Lord's Day to worship you. We thank you for this gift. We thank you for this privilege. And we come before you now in prayer and in praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.